Scripture passage for this morning comes from the second chapter of Acts. I'm going to be reading the last verses of this chapter. And every time I read this particular passage, I feel guilty that I haven't read the 41 or 42 that come before it, because the second chapter of Acts is often recognized as the birth of the church. It's the scene where Pentecost happens, where the disciples are gathered in the upper room and the Spirit descends like tongues of fire and on the tops of their heads, and they go out on the terrace and they're able to speak to people in different languages. And Peter is able to tell the story of the gospel to all of the people and the story of Jesus Christ. And the church is born out of that. And this passage that we're going to read today comes from the back part of that chapter, verses 43 through 47. And one of the amazing things, I'm going to actually start at verse 42. And one of the things that we need to remember is this is somebody who is writing about the beginning of the church and remembering the good times, remembering the great times, the great moments of the time when the church was born. Read with me beginning with verse 42 of chapter 2. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any of them had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." These are the words of God, and they are for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as I read this passage, I promise you there's a point to this. I'm reminded of the early days when I first started listening to rock and roll. There's a great movie that has John Candy, and he plays a policeman, and he, as he's dating this girl, he calls out all of these favors from different friends around the community, and she keeps saying, how is a fireman able to call out all these favors? And his line is constantly, "I wasn't always a fireman. I wasn't always a pastor. I used to listen to rock and roll." And rock and roll was the blood it was the lifeblood for me. Before I would pitch in a baseball game, I would listen to my psych up music, and it was what got my blood going and allowed my adrenaline to flow when I was about to pitch in a game or whenever I was just needing some inspiration for something. It was always rock and roll. And there were some songs that I just absolutely loved. And I remember one of those songs was a song by Led Zeppelin, and I would love to say it was a Christian spiritual song. It was called Stairway to Heaven. And I think it was about in sixth or seventh grade, someone came up to me and said, "Did you know that if you play that song backwards, there's a hidden message in that song?" And I said, "Are you for real? No way." Well, that was just about the time that we had those Walkman cassettes, you know, that everybody was getting. We were going on our seventh grade trip, and we were staying over at a hotel, and I had saved up money, and I had spent my money on the Led Zeppelin cassette tape that had Stairway to Heaven on it. Now, evidently cassette tapes don't play as well backwards as record players, because I remember spending the whole time that I was there trying to figure out how I could turn it backwards, and I ended up completely ruining the tape. And I vowed to myself from that time on I would never try and play music backwards, no matter how messed up the message was backwards. But did you know that when you read Scripture backwards, sometimes great meaning and significance happens for us? When we take a look at this passage and we read it not from front to back, but from back to front, we realize a lot of the pitfalls that come upon churches.
If you notice, the very last thing that took place in that church, in that passage, was the fact that the Lord added to their numbers daily. That's something every church around wants to happen, like now. There are very few churches out there that are just really going gangbusters. There's a few, but most churches are in situations either like ours or they make us look like we're in a boom time. They're really in difficult moments in the life of churches right now. And so we read this and we go, oh, wow, the Lord added to their numbers quickly. What do we need to do to have God add to our numbers in a quick fashion so that we can begin to address the financial needs, we can begin to address the volunteer hour needs that we have, and we can begin to expand the ministries of our church. And you can fall into that trap very quickly, and you can go to a bookstore, any bookstore, doesn't matter, and you will find racks of shelves full of books that will tell you how you can grow your organization, how you can grow your church, the 10 secrets, the 5 ways, how to reach the maximum potential. We find that for churches, we find that for personal lives too, don't we? We want things to be fixed, and we want them to be fixed in such a way that all we have to do is follow the recipe. Now, this morning, following the recipe was not so easy for me on the soup that I cooked. There was an ingredient that called for something called masa de harina, which spelled H-A-R-I-N-A. And evidently, it's a flour that you can find at Mexican supermarkets. And 11:30 on Friday night, which is when the shopping was done for this soup, is not the time to go to a Mexican supermarket. So Melissa, who was kind enough to go shopping for me, went to Walmart and got something that looked like masa de harina, but was actually like really fine cornmeal. And so when I got to the recipe this morning and started to lay out all my ingredients, and yes, it was like 5:30 in the morning, so I'm very tired. But as I started to try and work through the recipe, I realized that's not what it's supposed to be. And it said you're supposed to mix it in with water and stir it up real good, and you'll get all the lumps out, and then you pour it into your soup base that you have formed, and that'll add the corn flavor, and it'll help to richen and thicken up your soup. Well, it definitely thickened up the soup because there were like lumps around. And it definitely added sort of a sandy texture to the soup. And so when you go over there and you taste something that tastes like sand, that's mine. I'll take ownership of that. We want to be able to lay out the recipe ingredients, put the recipe together exactly like it says, and then we get the result that we want. Let's follow steps 1 through 8 and how the Lord will add to our number daily. And let's just think that because we have followed these steps, that all of a sudden our church is going to grow. Doesn't happen that way, does it? Somebody gets the ingredients wrong. Somehow or another, we don't follow the recipe as it was written. Or somehow or another, we've got it in our minds that the only way to be healthy as a church, the only way to be in community with one another, is if we are growing. And I can't quote the exact quote that Jim Schutman used yesterday in our deacon's retreat, but so that the pimple will pop, is that the word that you used? Big as a tick till you bust. There you go. We want to follow the recipes. But following the recipes as step one doesn't work, does it? So if we want to think about adding to our numbers daily, let's read this scripture backwards and find out what the next step was. The people had everything in common. And if there was any need in the community, they would sell their possessions and use the proceeds to distribute as any had need. Did you catch that? That means that whatever the personal pot was, whatever the savings was built up for, if there was another in the community that had need, you would sell whatever you needed to sell and make it available to anyone else who had need. Now, that's about as anti-capitalist as you can get. But that's what happens, you see, when people choose to be in community with one another. That's what happens, you see, when people realize, hey, this is a boat, and you're on the boat with me. And I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to fall off. I don't want you to go overboard. So I'll do what I can to help you to stay on board the boat. It's a choice that we make to say, when I gather on Sunday morning and I get in my car and I drive to Central Baptist Church and I see all of the people who are in this sanctuary with me, these are people who are on the boat with me. And what I can do to help the other brothers and sisters who are on the boat with me, I will do. Because we're on the boat together. Well, wait a minute, you say. Last week, you talked about washing each other's feet. And it was a real nice example of here with people with clean feet washing one another's feet, but when we talk about being on the boat together, we're talking about some messy feet that are there to wash. And you know what? If it's one feast, one meal together, I guess I can just kind of hold my nose and wash the feet for just one meal. I can handle that. We're about to go over in just a minute. All of you in attendance will be taken, are about to walk over to Adams Hall. And we're going to share in a meal together. There are relationships that are in this church, a part of any church, that are strained and difficult. But when we see each other over there in Adams Hall, we'll smile at each other. We'll shake each other's hand. We'll be friendly with each other. Everything will be okay. I can handle it for a meal. But you see, when you're on a boat with other people, the boat doesn't stay to the harbor. So you can just walk off anytime you want. When you're in the boat together, you're out to sea. You're going from one place to the next. And you can't just jump off anytime that you want to. You're on the boat. You've made a decision to make this journey together. And when we make those kinds of decisions, they're not for one meal. They're not for one day. They're not for, oh, I'll just do this for a moment or two. We make a decision to be Central Baptist Church together. And we can't expect God to bless us. We can't expect God to add numbers to us daily. We can't expect to experience the goodness and the plentitude of the bounty of God in the feast meal before us and the feast meal that we share when we have Lord's Supper together if we can't make the decision to love one another always, even when it hurts. Notice it doesn't say in the Bible everybody was just joyful and happy because they got to share all of their stuff with one another. They did it because they shared the journey with each other. And choosing to love one another is like a marriage vow. It's something you've made a decision to do, and you are in the boat together, and you figure out how to keep the boat moving forward, even when it hurts to do it. But how do we do that? Well, let's play the song backwards to the very first verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread with one another, and to the prayers. If we're going to be in this boat together, if we're going to journey together to the place that God has set for us as a congregation, if we're going to love one another, we can't do it under our own power. We can only do it in the context of you and me and her and him all joining together in devoting ourselves to growing spiritually closer to God. Imagine a triangle. I'm here. There's another person here. And there's God here. What happens when I grow closer to God? And this person grows closer to God? What happens when I grow closer to God still? And this person grows closer to God still? We grow closer to one another. As we do choose, as the people of Central Baptist Church, to devote ourselves to growing spiritually, devoting ourselves to prayer with one another, devoting ourselves to Bible study with one another, devoting ourselves to growing in our spiritual journey, devoting ourselves to reading devotions together, devoting ourselves to giving ourselves over to the leadership of the Spirit, devoting ourselves at all costs to grow closer to God because God loved us first. We'll find ourselves loving one another. Now, there's another one I can't quote, but Dot Parker gave us a wonderful quote yesterday to start our deacon's retreat. It was a quote from Hal Marchman. And what he said in essence was this: I have found that when I pray for God to fix another person, I'm going to be disappointed. When I pray for God to fix me, when I pray for God to fix my thoughts, to fix my attitudes, to fix my approach toward other people and toward life itself, I find that they get better as well. Our whole point of view, our whole way of understanding God and our whole way of understanding our relationships changes when we choose to grow closer to God first. So now let's play the song the way it's supposed to be. The people devoted themselves to their spiritual journeys. They devoted themselves to growing closer to God. They devoted themselves to praying with one another. They devoted themselves to a spiritual life together. And as a result of that, when anyone came into need, someone would sell what they had, and they would use the proceeds to help and distribute the money as it was needed. And every day, the Lord added to their number. Because you see, the rest of the world beyond the walls of this church desperately needs to see real love put in action. The rest of the world beyond the walls of this church desperately needs to see a community of people that have chosen at great sacrifice, but also with great benefit and great celebration, to love one another as if their very life depended on it. we will find God's blessings, however and in whatever form they come. When we devote ourselves to spiritual growth, to loving one another as a part of the feast of the kingdom of God, and we will find God's blessings at work in our lives. May we devote ourselves to the life of this church. May we devote ourselves to the life of the kingdom. May we devote ourselves to God. Let's pray. Our God, we read these words and we realize that they are tough. We realize that acting them out is hard. And we realize that we're not capable of loving that way on our own. But because of your Son, because of the cross that we lift high, you have promised to walk with us, to strengthen us, to give us the love that goes beyond our own understanding, not only for our own lives, but as we love one another. Lord, give us the courage to be those kind of people, so that we might find in this congregation, in this community, the beginnings of the Spirit reviving humanity and drawing it closer to you day by day by day. Lord, make us instruments of your peace and instruments of your grace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.